This is the Raptors Abroad podcast. Raptor freaks, basketball fans, whoever you are, whatever brought you to this Raptors Abroad podcast, welcome. Time to represent. It is February the 25th, 2015. Which means it is the day after the Toronto Raptors played Game 57 of their 2014-2015 NBA season. Which means it's time for yours truly, your boy Sam, here in London, UK, to break down this ball game for you. Let you know what went down with your T-Raps. So the Raptors were taking on the Dallas Mavericks. These two teams with almost the same record. Raptors at 37-19, Mavericks at 38-20. Raps on the road in Dallas's house, American Airlines Center. This is the T-Raps' fourth game in five nights, and it has been a weird little ride. Just a quick recap, the Raptors, out of the All-Star break, jumped all over Atlanta, beat the Hawks easily, then got stomped by the Rockets by 22, in what I thought was their worst loss of the season, but they competed for it last night by losing by 3 points after having an 18-point lead to the New Orleans Pelicans, which wouldn't be even that big of a deal if the Pelicans had their star players in, but they did not. Anthony Davis was sitting out. Drew Holiday is out. Ryan Anderson was out. And the Raptors were not able to hang on and win that ball game. And it came down to a lot of poor shot decisions down the stretch. A lot of deep twos by the guards, and we got eaten up by the Pelicans guards and by former Raptor Alexi Ajinsa. And Coach Casey and DeMar DeRozan were both quite vocal about the long twos not really being the game plan. We got to get to the free throw line. That's what got the Raptors so hot to start out this season, and we got to get back to that. All right. So, for the Mavericks, little break for the Raptors here. Mavericks missing Chandler Parsons, who has caused us some problems in the past. He's decent on both ends of the floor, and he's super long. So, definitely will help out with the Raptors spacing, not having him on the floor. And starting in his place, Richard Jefferson. Props to Richard Jefferson for still being in the league. And I'll tell you why, that dude does not change. He looks exactly the same. And I'll tell you, he's only 34. I thought he was older. I remember RJ from back in the day, like 2000, 2001, when Jason Kidd was on those great Nets teams and RJ was running with him. I mean, dude is old. I'll tell you what, I was thinking about how long RJ's been around. Richard Jefferson, right, he's got a tattoo, pretty bad one, on his shoulder of his initials, RJ. And he's been around long enough that was noticeable. Right, it's kind of before NBA players were all getting tattoos, and you kind of remembered the guys that had them. Like, you know, Richard Jefferson had the RJ. You know, Rasheed Wallace had that big sun thing. I guess Kmart always had a few, but there weren't that many tattoos in the NBA. You know, they kind of stood out, the guys that had it. It wasn't really until Iverson showed up, and then the few years around that people started to get all covered up like they are now. And now it looks weird if you don't have sleeves. So I just want to say shout out to RJ. Props to him for still running and still playing and still being a good baller. I mean, he's not nearly the athletic freak that he was back in the day, but I'll tell you what, half of Richard Jefferson's athleticism is still probably close to most NBA players. That dude used to be able to get up. All right, so let's get into this ball game, shall we? First quarter, we go. 11-13 mark, DeMar DeRozan. I know he said he didn't want to take these, but this time he needed to do it. Shot clock nearly at zero, and DeMar able to raise up and bury a long two with a hand in his face. So good sign for the Raptors there, but better sign for the Mavericks is the start that Dirk Nowitzki had. drains a three ball, drains a two ball, drains two free throws, and then Tyson Chandler gets in on the act with a dunk, and the Mavs jump out to a 9-2 lead the first couple of minutes. So not time to panic yet, only 7 points, but still a bit of a scary start, and luckily the Raptors do not panic. The general, Kyle Lowry, 9:37 mark, steps up and hits a 17-foot pull-up. And then the 8:15 mark, Lowry with a beautiful read, feeding it to JV in transition for the layup. Nice little lob towards the rim there. 7:25 mark, James Johnson, unusually, gets stripped on the drive. You don't see that happen too often, but what we have been seeing often is Jonas Valanciunas being Yoni on the spot and grabbing that ball in the paint, picking it up and laying it in. He's been doing a lot of that lately. Block shots or strip balls that he's been having the presence of mind and the hands to snatch up and put in. So nice little evolution in JV's game. I remember back when he was a rookie, I'd see a lot of those balls squirt out of his hands. So nice to see you grow, JV. So he lays it up and in. Raptors down 3-11-8. However, Dirk Nowitzki still rolling. He answers that with a deep deuce. All his shots coming from deep, and he was looking pretty hot to start. 6:55 mark, though. Jonas still doing work down low. He gets a nice pass from DeMar DeRozan for another layup. 6:31 mark, James Johnson. Great drive. Huge elevation. I mean, this is what he's becoming known for now, but he gets up, and then this is kind of a new sort of play for him where he starts elevating, but instead of floating all the way to the rim, he kind of aims to stop about 2 feet short, and then he's worked out these push shots with both hands where, because he's so high, normally it would be more difficult. Like if it was someone like me, I'd be on my way down and it would take a lot of strength to push it up and in, and I would lose a lot of the touch, but JJ just gets up so high and he's so strong that even from stopping short, he lets the defenders fade away and he just pushes it through with a little line drive. So nice work by JJ, and again, super impressive player to watch. 6:02 mark, Kyle Lowry gets to the free throw line, splits a pair, and good thing we didn't panic, because that's tied up the ball game. Nice work, boys. Way to get yourself back into it. 5:30 mark, DeMar DeRozan with some nice work gets Devin Harris to bite on a pump fake when he's on the left block, about 10 feet out. DeMar elevates, takes the contact, and drains the jumper. And one. And that, by the way, answered a really nice way. I mean, Harris on the previous possession had a really nice driving layup. So he was pretty frustrated by getting caught out. I think he was a little bit fired up from making the layup, and that's why he bit on that pump fake so hard. So with the made free throw, Raptors up 16-15. Jump ahead about a minute and a half to the 4:13 mark. Kyle Lowry off the dribble. Monta Ellis all over him, able to hit the step back three ball. Raptors up 19-18. 3:41 mark, Devin Harris getting a little bit of payback here, from biting on that pump fake with a strong drive up the middle, takes contact, and he's able to finish with the hoop and the arm. Drains a free throw, Mavs up to 21-19. All right, 2:28 mark, like to welcome back my boy Tupat. Tupat shows up. We missed him last ball game. I'm not sure why, but he was not able to suit up against the Pelicans. And Tupac welcomes himself back to the lineup by draining a right wing three to reclaim the lead for the Raptors. Welcome back, big boy. 1:59 mark. The Raptors get a huge break here. DeMar DeRozan, very well defended by Al-Farouq Aminu on the right baseline. Actually, it was the second time in a row that Aminu was able to catch DeMar without his dribble. And you could hear from the bench them yelling really loudly, "Stay down! Stay down! Don't bite on the DeRozan pump fakes." And Aminu does not. DeMar able to squeeze off a shot, which he misses. And as it's squirting out, Amari Stoudemire, the newest Maverick, Amari goes up to grab the rebound, but he winds up tipping it right in off his fingertips. And so the Raptors get a free bucket there, and they're up 3, 24-21. And then Amari trying to make up for it at the other end, he winds up traveling. Yikes. Alright, so jump to the 52-second mark. Terrence Ross representing from the right corner with the three ball. Again, a great sign seeing T. Ross getting his three ball to drop. He's really been struggling lately. Last game, he started to get it together a little bit, so nice little start for Terrence. 30 seconds to go. Tough break for the Raptors. Lou Williams bringing it up the court, aiming for a two-for-one. Raptors had, 30 seconds on the clock, but he tries to plant his right foot going for a crossover, and his right foot does not plant. It just slips out, and he winds up giving a gift to Devin Harris, who just grabs the loose ball and goes all the way in for the fast break layup. But Lou makes up for it 19 seconds later. 12 seconds to go in the quarter with a beautiful 17-foot line drive runner off glass. He thought he was going to get a foul called. That's why he went up in the air and went into the shooting motion, didn't hear the whistle, put it up anyways, and was able to bank that home. And with that, the Raptors have a 4-point lead, 29-25. What a strange quarter. I'll tell you, by no stretch did it feel like the Raptors would have the lead in this ballgame. Definitely felt like the Mavs were outplaying them, but that's not what the score says. Raptors up 29-25. Alright, I'm not going to complain. Second quarter. 10:54 mark. Grevas Vasquez starts it off with a drive and teardrop. Raptors up 6, 31-25. But J.J. Barea, the point guard who I've seen do damage in all types of uniforms, all types of occasions. This dude knows how to play. He answers that with a three ball. James Johnson comes down the other way trying to answer. He turns that over, and that leads to a Devin Harris setting up Al-Farouq Aminu for the alley-oop throwdown. And that Raptor 6-point lead is now a Raptor 1-point lead, 31-30. 9:34 mark, Grevas Vasquez, nice defense here with the deflection. James Johnson then picks up that loose ball and then throws a nice bounce pass to Vasquez to lead him to the rim for the fast break layup. Big work by JJ. Big man can pass as well. 9:18 mark though, Dirk Nowitzki draining a 15-footer with James Johnson all over him. Guy's so hard to defend because JJ really had a hand up, but Dirk able to get that shot off. However, James Johnson gets a little payback. He answers that with a tip in on with an offensive rebound at the other end. Raptors up 7, 35, or sorry, up 3, 35-32. 8:40 mark, the Mavericks get two offensive rebounds. The second one by JJ Barea from the weak side, and he's able to catch it and volley it in off glass for the layup. 8:19 mark, Grevas Vasquez still doing work in the quarter. He was really excellent. He had a great ball game. He drives and drops a sweet bounce pass to Chuck Hayes, who's able to finish point blank, which is good news because Chuck's actually struggled with that a little bit the last couple of games. So nice to see Chuck able to bury those gimmies. 19 seconds later, Vasquez again grabs a defensive board, pushes the play, kicks it up to Sweet Lou, who knows exactly what to do from the right wing, drains a three ball, Raptors up 6. 40-34, which is, I know, just two possessions, but it felt like a huge lead in this ballgame. 7:17 mark. Sweet Lou steals a bad pass from Richard Jefferson and then plays a little volleyball with himself, able to tip it to himself up court and grabs it for the fast break layup. Nice work from Lou. 6:54 mark. Chuck Hayes then getting in with the hands. He deflects a Monte Ellis interior pass. James Johnson picks it up. He kicks it to Vasquez. Vasquez pulls up from the high right wing for three. And the Raptors now up 9. That felt honestly like an 18-point lead. Being up 9 felt huge. I know the Mavs can score, but in this ballgame, it was just going back and forth like that. And for the Raptors to get a 9-point lead, it was not expected. And it continues. 6:41 mark. T. Ross steals another bad Monte Ellis pass. Unfortunately, though, he gets stripped on the fast break. Raptors able to keep the possession, but they did not score. But the Mavs continuing to have problems in this stretch of the second quarter. 6:01 mark, they get a offensive 3-second call, which was their fourth straight turnover. And DeMar makes them pay with a dribble drive and a free throw line jumper. Raptors up 11 now, 47-36. Although Monta Ellis looked like he learned a little something from DeMar, he comes back and runs the exact same play. Little dribble drive and free throw line jumper to answer. 4:55 mark, Lowry showing off. I mean, I can just picture him practicing this all the time. He goes to his patented little jab step dribble and then turn around, fade away from about 17 feet away. Rajon Rondo, no chance on it. It's a tough shot, but I like that Lowry's practicing that because I think later in his career, that's definitely going to come in handy. 4:16 mark, DeMar DeRozan finds himself trapped without the dribble about 10 feet from the basket, but no problem for him. He's able to elevate and hit that flat-footed shot. Not easy. 51-38 Raptors. However, Monta Ellis heating up. He answers that with a mid-range J. So Ellis and DeMar starting to trade blows a little bit, and that's when Monta gets a little bit the better of DeMar. 258 mark. Nice touch after he goes on a dribble drive, nearly loses it, stumbling into the paint, but he's able to gather himself and finish softly off glass with a scoop shot. Super athletic and talented play, which Monta Ellis is, of course, both of those things. 225 mark, Rajon Rondo, also a talented player, used to be one of my favorites. I don't know what's going on with him lately, and more on him actually after the game. Rondo drives and lays one in, but just 7 seconds later, DeMar DeRozan and Lou Williams hustling up court. They play a little two-man game, and DeMar sets up Lou for the transition layup. Raptors up 9 again, 53-44. 155 mark, Devin Harris, also starting to heat up. He drains a three ball. DeMar DeRozan at the other end has a great look to answer, but unfortunately not able to connect. The Mavs break on the play, and Monta Ellis sets up Tyson Chandler for the alley-oop throwdown. 9-point lead, down to 4, 53-49. 24 seconds to go. Great play by Lowry here, working on the left block, spinning towards the paint, and then, I don't know how, because JV was way out, but somehow out of the corner of his eye, Lowry spots Jonas flying up the middle of the court. Kyle hits him with a pass. Jonas at full speed, able to grab that ball, elevate, and then lay it in softly off glass. Showing off, big man. Show off the touch. The Raptors with a 6-point lead, 55-49. And that is how the quarter end, or that's how the half ended. And I'll tell you, even though we had a 6-point lead, it was very nice to get a break there. The Raptors certainly starting to feel like they had lost the momentum, and the Mavs were starting to chip away and start to come back. And a timeout only does so much to stem momentum. A good 20-minute break is, I think, exactly what the doctor ordered right there. All right, so let's get into this third quarter. 10:53 mark, James Johnson. Nice defense, picking Monta Ellis' pocket. And believe me, not easy to do with Ellis' sweet handle and speed. So JJ able to get that steal. That leads to him actually getting stripped, but again, Jonas Valanciunas grabbing a loose ball and laying it up and in. Just, like I said, Joni on the spot. 57-49 Raptors, and then Johnny on the spot again. 8:59 mark, JV with the offensive rebound. Instead of going up with it, makes the wise decision to kick it to a wide open Kyle Lowry, open in the left corner. He drains a three ball, and the Raptors up 7, 60-53. And then Amir gets in on the act. 8:22 mark, offensive rebound, and baby hook, which is nice to see, because he was struggling a little bit this game. His numbers won't really show it, but he was just kind of stumbling around a little bit, which I guess 4 games and 5 nights might do to you. But with that Johnson basket, the Raptors up 9, 62-53. And I'll tell you, it felt like the Raptors were losing this game. It really did. It did not feel like they were winning the way that they were playing. But they were up 9 on the road. 7:50 mark then, Kyle Lowry adding to the lead with a sweet pass. Hits James Johnson cutting to the rim. And again, he does that same move where he elevates, stops about 2 feet short, and then pushes that ball in. Raptors up 11, 64-53. And now a tough little stretch here. The Raptors over the next minute and a half get a couple of stops. They have a couple of good looks, but DeMar DeRozan, for some reason, taking these long shots. I'm still not liking that shot selection. Luckily, it doesn't haunt the Raptors that much, but at the 6:30 mark, Amir Johnson, the nice player, strips Tyson Chandler under the basket, then he sprints all the way up the floor, just puts his head down and goes, and Kyle Lowry, again with the good court vision, spots him out of the corner of his eye, floats up a perfect alley-oop, and Amir elevates and throws that one down. Great work by Amir there. However, Richard Jefferson, showing that he deserves that starting spot, answers with a three ball, and the Raptor lead just 8, 66-58, so still decent. Raptors come down the floor, and Lowry and DeMar get caught up on the perimeter. Kyle winds up having to put up a desperation three, which winds up in a shot clock violation. Mavs come the other way, and guess what? Monta Ellis does not have to force one up. He gets a great look from deep, and he drains the three ball. And the Raptors are only up 5 now, 66-61, with 5:20 to go. And again, it's shocking that the Raptors were still leading. They're still up 5, but you can certainly feel that momentum starting to creep. 5:14 mark, DeMar DeRozan takes another tough, deep 2-pointer, but this time he makes it. 68-61. 447 mark, Richard Jefferson continuing to do work this quarter. He rebounds his own miss, draws and makes two free throws. 435 mark. Terrible call by the referees here. They call a charge on Jonas Valanciunas. Monta Ellis got under him to draw it. But JV was receiving a pass. He was in the air, and after he elevated, that's when Ellis slid in underneath him. And when JV landed, he just basically landed on him. Ellis goes down, and really, it should have been a blocking foul and one, because JV went right up with it and laid it in. But instead, that gets wiped away, and guess what? Monta Ellis takes full advantage. He comes down and hits a layup. We're down to a one-possession game, 68-65. 357 mark, DeMar DeRozan, right baseline. Tough fadeaway. Had to force it off the inbounds. So DeMar, not liking these tough shots, but it is fun when he makes them. I do have to admit, when those go down, it's exciting to watch, but it's a lot of those no, yes shots. But I'll tell you what, the referees here, they make up for that terrible charge call in dramatic fashion. Tupat fouls Al-Farouq Aminu pretty significantly underneath the basket. All right, Aminu had the ball, Tupat riding him with the forearm, and then actually elevates and kind of rides him literally by sitting on his back. But the referees call Aminu for a travel. And to add to it, not only does he get a travel call, but Amari Stoudemire argues and gets a quick tee. I mean, the referee does not hesitate. I don't know what Amari said, but quickly gets a tee. But the Mavs, y'all ever heard of BDL here? Ever heard of Ball Don't Lie? The Raptors get a taste of it right here. DeMar goes to the line, misses the free throw, so get nothing off the technical. And then on the possession, turns it over. Not only does he turn it over, but the Mavs go the other way, and Devin Harris gets fouled, goes to the line, drains two free throws. So a six-point lead that could have been 7, 8, 9, or 10 is now 4. Huge swing. 3:04 mark. Kyle Lowry trying to make up for DeMar's mistakes. He takes a three-ball attempt from just off straight away on the right, but he makes up for it way too much, and he misses with a shot about a foot wide and left, and that sails harmlessly out of bounds. Mavs come back the other way. Amari Stoudemire gets a pair of free throws, and now we got a two-point game, 71-69. 2:15 mark, Lou Williams, for the second time this game, coughing the ball up off the dribble, trying a little baseline drive. That leaves him way behind the play, and that leads to Devin Harris, who is D'ing him up, going coast to coast for the driving layup, and the game is tied at 71. 1:51 mark, DeMar DeRozan, figuring out that taking it to the rack is the play. He drives and gets fouled, draws two free throws, restores a two-point Raptor lead, 73-71. 1:15 mark, DeMar again driving to the basket, this time spotting Tupat in the right corner, hits him in the numbers, and Tupat puts it up, draining the three ball. Raptors again somehow up 5. No idea how they have this lead. Does not feel like it. So jump about a minute to the 16-second mark. Dirk Nowitzki gets inside for an easy layup. Raptors now just up to 76-74. But Monta Ellis with the mental error. 0.3 seconds to go. He fouls Lou Williams. Lou goes to the free throw line, splits the pair, and the Raptors, with that, are only up 3 points. One possession ball game, 77-74. Which, I mean, I can't complain that much. It's not like they had a massive lead, but you know, they were up double digits for a couple of times and just not able to hang on to that or to build on that. But the good news is, this is the 42nd time this season out of 57 games that the Raptors have had a lead going into the fourth quarter. That's the best in the NBA. No one else has done that, which I find surprising. I would have figured at least Golden State would have done that, or Atlanta, but apparently not. And the Raptors 34-7 in those 42 times that they've been able to have the lead going into the fourth. But you know what? That's just history. Those are stats. This ball game has to be played. And guess what? I mean, if that third quarter just extended another 30 seconds, we wouldn't have been adding to that stat, because JJ Barea opens the fourth with a layup and a three ball, and just like that, Mavs are up to 79-77. Tupat, though, showing up a showing a new little part of his game with a nice little dribble drive and then a pull-up from about 10 feet in the paint for the 2 points. Nice work by him. I haven't really seen that. So way to expand your game, big boy. 10-04 mark. Lou Williams for the third time in the game. Losing the handle. Seemed pretty unforced. Did it on the high right block. That leads to an Amari Stoudemire fast break layup. Mavs back up to 81-79. 9:30 mark. Devin Harris with a gorgeous wraparound pass on the drive to Amari Stoudemire. He's able to finish that with the hoop and the harm. Luckily for the Raps, he misses the free throw, but the Mavs have a 4-point lead, 83-79, which, by the way, was a result of an 11-3 run. So not good timing for the Raptors to be coughing up the biggest run the Mavs have had this game, aside from the start of the first couple of minutes. 9:11 mark, Dirk going to the floor after trying to steal the ball from Tupat, felt that he was fouled. Patterson just takes a look at Dirk sprawled out on the baseline and calmly drains a 12-foot set shot. Raptors down to 83-81, and that seemed to fire Dirk up because he comes right back the other way. They kick it to him on the right wing, and he drains a three ball, 86-81. Felt like the Mavs were about to knock us out, but Grevis Vasquez, seizing some of that momentum back, he's able to rattle home a left wing three ball to answer. Raptors only down two, 86-84. 7:56 mark, Chuck Hayes stepping up and taking a hard charge from Al-Farouq Aminu, who's coming in at top speed. It's a way to sacrifice your body for the team, Chuck. Unfortunately for Chuck and the rest of us, though, Kyle Lowry dribbles it off his foot, which resulted in a jump ball, which Dallas easily won. And on that possession, J.J. Barea with the three ball. Raptors down 5, 89-84. And then Tupat, who was carrying us with two uncharacteristic turnovers in the next minute. One of them a really bad outlet. Not really sure where that came from. And that the second one leads to an Al-Farouq Aminu layup. Raptors now down 7, 91-84, and it's definitely starting to get away from us. And then Richard Jefferson adds an 8-foot jumper. DeMar DeRozan comes down and travels. Monte Ellis brings it back the other way, drains a 12-footer. And guess what, folks? The Raptors now are down double digits, 95-85. 5:11 mark. Looked like the Raptors were going to get a big opportunity. DeMar DeRozan drains a jumper after getting a good screen from Amir Johnson, and Amir Johnson is fouled as DeMar hits the shot. So count the basket. But no, referees go to the replay just to make sure, and they realize that no, the foul was well before the shot. So take away the basket, side out of bounds for the Raptors. The Raptors would have had 2 points and a free throw to make it three, but instead, side out of bounds, and they don't score on the play. And guess what? The Mavs do. They take it back the other way. Al-Farouq Aminu with the layup, giving them a 12-point lead with 4 minutes and 12 seconds to go. So what do the Raptors do? Just 10 seconds later, DeMar DeRozan going to the forced deep two. He misses. 3:37 mark, Kyle Lowry with a nice defensive board, pushes it, kicks it to Grevis Vasquez, who, like I said, had a great ball game, and he kicks it up from deep, draining the three ball and keeping hope somewhat alive for the Raptors. Down 9, 97-88, 3.5 minutes to go. 3:07, Tupac, offensive rebound and putback. After DeMar, by the way, the offensive rebound was off another very difficult shot by DeMar DeRozan with Tyson Chandler all over him. 2:37 mark, Chandler, speaking of Tyson Chandler, the big offensive rebound off of I'm not sure who missed it, but Chandler with the rebound. Oh, it was Ellis. Ellis just barely beat the shot clock. Chandler gets a rebound and then kicks it out to Monta Ellis, who, for some reason, the lanes just parts, just completely opens up for him, and Ellis able to drive all the way through and finish with a little scoop shot finger roll. 99-90. Mavs on top. 2:07 mark, Lowry, desperation attempt, grazes the left rim, 4-3. Not really a great decision, but wasn't really a lot of other decisions out there. 1:44 mark, Lowry trying again, missing another three ball. However, Amir gets the offensive rebound, and then, characteristic to this ball game, just bobbles it out of bounds. He had it. Had it on the left baseline. 1:16 mark, Amir Johnson, just to show how tired his legs were, he charges on Tyson Chandler for the offensive foul. And the Mavs go on to win this ball game by 7, 99-92. A third straight loss for the Raptors, again in painful fashion. It's hard to get on them too much, though, because it was their fourth game in 5 nights. So for them to win, it would have been a really fantastic victory. But just coming off of those last two losses, particularly that last one where we blew it to the Pelicans, this one just hurt. And if you look at the progression in these quarters, you could see the Raptors fading. 29 points in the first, 26 in the second, 22 in the third, and then just 15 in the fourth. And Dallas, 25, 24, 25, and 25. Model of consistency. All right, so let's check out this box score. Monta Ellis, leading scorer for the Mavs with 20 points, 8 of 15. He really heated up when they needed him. Al-Farouq Aminu, too. He had a big ball game with 9 points, 12 rebounds. And Dirk Nowitzki, 18 points, 9 boards. And then Richard Jefferson also chipping in with 11 points. Just got a solid performance from them. I'll tell you who they didn't get a solid performance from, though, was Rajon Rondo. Only 18 minutes in this ballgame. Guess why? I missed this, but in the third quarter, Rondo got into it with Rick Carlisle. And they started beefing at each other. I guess Rondo wasn't running the play that Carlisle had called. And they had some words, and that was it for Rajon for the rest of the game. He did not come back. But that actually wound up working out great for the Mavericks, because who were the guys that I was mentioning that was doing some big damage to us? JJ Barea and Devin Harris. In fact, so Harris had 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting, and JJ Barea 5 of 8, 3 of 4 from 3-point land for 13 points. All right, now on the Raptor side, I'll give you the plus. Jonas Valanciunas, 5 of 7, 10 points, 9 rebounds. I mean, the plus is the shooting percentage. Only getting 7 shot attempts? Not cool. All right, James Johnson. A little bit of good news here. 3 of 4 from the field. 4 rebounds, 6 points. Again, great percentage. Why only 4 shots? I don't know. Now here's some of the bad news. Kyle Lowry, 4 of 15. Did come in with 6 dimes. But 4 of 15 is not going to work. DeMar DeRozan, 7 of 21. And the reason for that? Most of those 21 shots were deep. All right, and I should add that it should be 6 of 21. One of those makes, or actually, I don't know if they count that. Maybe they count that as a miss. And they must count as a make when Amari Stoudemire tipped that in. So yeah, so really, that's 6 of 21. So DeMar's getting a little bit of benefit there. Oh, and the last player I want to shout out is Patrick Patterson. He actually played really well. 5 of 11, 12 points. He did what he could, 7 rebounds. Did have a couple of nasty turnovers in a row. And Lou Williams, man, he really struggled in this one. 4 of 10, it doesn't sound like it, but those 3 turnovers were just really uncharacteristic of Lou. And I'm going to put this one on the legs. I'm not going to put this on any one of these guys. They went hard, they tried, and they're just tired. They're on the road, 4 games out of 5, and apparently that's tiring. I mean, I used to play 5-7 days of basketball a week. You know, I'm sure these guys did too. And you're playing 2-3 hours a day, but hey, what do I know? So the Raptors unable to come up with this one. And you know what else I'd like to say is, look, if they got 4 games in 5 nights, why can't we see any minutes from Tyler Hansbrough? Why can't we see any minutes from Greg Steensma? Or even Landry Fields? I mean, 0 minutes? If your guys are tired, I mean, what are these other guys there for? They're in uniform. They're on the bench. Let's get some minutes out of them. They want to play. So I would think in this one, Coach Casey, who, by the way, was the assistant coach with the Mavericks when they won a championship, so a lot of roots here, and I'm sure he wanted to come back and represent. It's hard to say he wasn't out coached for the second straight game. Don't think they made the right call here. I don't think he played the right people. I don't think that we went down to JV enough. And I'm going to put that on the coach. But again, 4 games out of 5, so I'm going to have to give you guys somewhat of a pass, not get too worked up. All right, so around the league, terrible news. Terrible news for basketball fans everywhere. D. Rose, I don't know all the details, but he's done for the year. He's got some sort of problem with his meniscus. I think a slight tear, so he's not going to be suiting up for the Bulls, which is just such a shame. I mean, even if he does come back to full health, I can't imagine that mentally he's ever going to feel like he can play at 100%. How could you? Poor guy. I mean, he was on his way to being an absolutely sensational player. But you know what? That's also some credit to the legends out there that went out and put in 15, 18 years of solid basketball. That's part of it, you know, is being healthy. You know, I'll use a hockey analogy. Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. I grew up in Edmonton. I'm a diehard Wayne Gretzky fan. Don't get me wrong. He is the greatest ever. But Mario Lemieux, who knows what he could have done if he was healthy. All right, and that's no fault of Mario. I mean, he had some issues that he just couldn't deal with, but that's just part of it. It's part of your body of work. You know, there's one way to judge a great player, and it's what they played like at their peak. And then there's also what they did over their career. And you got to weigh those together. Well, it was kind of fun to talk about Wayne Gretzky. That felt good. A little pick-me-up after the Raptors have dropped their third straight. And you know what, folks? It does not get any easier. This Friday, back at home, going to be hosting the Splash Brothers and the Golden State Warriors, who have been on a tear this whole season. And they did the Raptors a little bit of a favor by beating the Wizards last night. But Cleveland beat up on Detroit. It looked like, I watched that game, it looked like Detroit was going to be able to come back on that one, but they were not. So the Raptors, with that loss, clinging now to the second spot in the East with a record of 37-20. Bulls right behind them, 36-21. And then the Cleveland right on their heels at 36-22. And in fact, Washington and Milwaukee aren't that far behind either, both 30-plus wins. So things starting to tighten up as we expected here in the East. Atlanta sitting comfortably 7.5 games up on the rest of the pack. All right, that's it for this Raptors Abroad podcast. A couple of days off, and I will be back with you on Saturday. Once again, shout out to all the new listeners. Again, last episode blew up, so I don't know if someone's tweeting this or someone else found out about this. I'm not sure why the listenership has gone up. I said it doubled. It's actually tripled in like the last week. And I don't know if that's just an aberration or the last 2 weeks. So either way, what up? Props. Thank you. And represent for your Raptors. Big love. Shout out from London. I will catch you all on Saturday. This is your boy, Sam. Peace.